When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Abide Radio, a podcast presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app.
I had a great mentor that helped me understand life, which was my grandfather.
A podcast that brings you thought leaders making an impact in the world.
Be strong, be courageous, and do what you have never done before.
And stories of God's grace and redemption.
Sometimes we have conversations that's one-sided, but we don't take time to pause and listen to what he has. And so we say the prayers and we move on.
And now your host, Bonnie Curry.
Hello, hello. I am so glad you're here because I want today's show to feel like your favorite pair of stretchy pants. It's going to be that comfortable. So I want you to settle in, relax, and let some of your stresses and worries go, because I know that my guests today are here to deliver some real encouragement and comfort to us. Let's start with Stacy Kaiser. She's a tremendous psychotherapist, relationship expert, author of the best-selling book, How to Be a Grown-Up. She's made hundreds of TV appearances and is a regular on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and is known for her compassion and understanding for busy working people. And with her, it's a dear friend and fellow Texan, Anthony Evans. He's the son of Dr. Tony Evans, and Anthony, he has the voice of an angel. I mean it. He's a worship leader, songwriter, producer. He was on The Voice and recently was Beast with Zooey Deschanel for Beauty and the Beast at the Hollywood Bowl. And in between all that, he's an author. I'm so excited to talk to you both today because this is something that I feel so strongly is affecting so many levels of our faith, Christianity, our churches, about what is happening inside our churches that we cannot discuss mental health without feeling we are failing as believers. And I think at the heart of this book is you both trying to answer some of the questions that we're going to talk about today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to have you both here today.
Thank you for having us, Bonnie. We're excited to be here.
Yes.
Do you sleep at all? I mean, is there sleep in your schedule at all at any point?
There is. It's just whenever I can do it, I try to fit it in.
So how did you both meet? Because this is an interesting relationship. I'm kind of going, it doesn't feel like your moments should intersect. So how did that happen?
Yes. It's like your paths would naturally cross.
Right.
I've seen her on Steve Harvey, Tyra, Good Morning America, Love and Hip Hop, The Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett. Like that's what she means when
she's being super humble. She's being super humble.
She's not going to give you the laundry list, but I will. So the bottom line is I saw her on one of those shows. And I was like, oh, this therapist is handling this scenario well. That's all I thought. And I was in a place in my life where I was desperate to speak to somebody who was not in my sphere. I didn't want to talk to somebody who was going to sit down and immediately start telling me about all my family members and how they love their work. I didn't want that pressure that comes with hearing that from somebody.
Right.
So I was like, if I'm seeing her on this major network and major show, maybe I can be this creep who looks at the credits at the end and finds out who this therapist was. So I heard her name and then I figured out this is who she is, looked her up and emailed her team. And I don't know why they answered me, because that's what crazy people do. Like look up who's on TV and email them.
But, and start the restraining order. You know what I'm saying? Okay, his name is Anthony Evans. He lives in Dallas. Okay, yeah, we can take care of that.
Yes, totally. But they vetted me and she happened to have an opening in her schedule, which she doesn't ever have. And she, after vetting me, she allowed me to have a preliminary appointment just to see what the vibe would be. And that was 6 years ago.
Wow.
There you go.
So fast forward, and y'all decided to write a book together. One of the first things right out of the gate that I want to talk to you both about is, why have the churches not been a receiving place for people struggling with mental health? Look at him dodging and throwing that one to you, Steve. Right. I there's this pause, and then there's him pointing, going, you take this one, you take this one.
I will say that in my experience, it has depended on the church. There are some churches that have been much more welcoming and accepting of this whole concept. And then I think other ones have struggled because there is just such a belief that, you know, that with prayer, you can be healed and released from whatever, you know, and saved from whatever it is that's going on with you. And so a lot of believers have said to us, you know, hearing that we're doing this book, well, can't we just pray it away?
Right.
And so that's been a conversation that I think that this is where I think you can pick.
Yeah. A lot of people think like therapy is saying God is not enough. That's what a lot of people think, you know, in general. But I view it this way. If people wince at therapy, to me, that's like wincing at tutoring when somebody doesn't understand algebra. Like, you don't wince when somebody needs tutoring to understand algebra. And I'm that guy. In ninth grade, I could not figure out what the teacher was talking about. And there'd be all the kids in class were like, yeah, I get it. X equals 11. No big deal. I was lost. I was totally lost, even though it was worked out in front of me. And in church, a lot of times, well, we have a book of truth. And a lot of times it's worked out very great by a great order in front of us. But I would sit in church confused. And the greatest teacher in the world is my dad. And I would sit listening to him and be like, I don't know how to work that out fully in my life. And in the same way tutoring helped me pass math class, psychotherapy has helped me get to the next level spiritually, because it helps me work out, be anxious for nothing, for lack of a better, for an example. We can all read Be Anxious for Nothing, but I need tools to work on being anxious for nothing.
Right.
And that's because sometimes you're still anxious.
Yeah, because sometimes I pray about not being anxious, but I need to add tools to that. And I feel like in general, when I say this all the time, but when we do what we can, God will do what we can't. There are always seemingly insignificant acts of obedience that are tied to big breakthroughs and big miracles. Almost every miracle in the Bible, there's something that was done that seems really kind of dumb. Like Moses raising a rod at the Red Sea is like, for real? Can't you just do this? To me, this psychotherapy has been like me raising my rod, and then God parts the depression, and he parts the anxiety, and he parts. And not only do I go through, but people who are with me experience freedom too. Like the same way that happened with Moses. I'm not calling myself Moses, but you know what I mean.
I could hug you, because again, where I'm coming to this is from years of trying to work through certain things myself. There was this point in my life that I reached when my eldest was a senior in high school, and I found myself so stressed, and I found myself just not sleeping anymore. I was waking up at the crack of dawn, and then I actually started experiencing some back problems, and I'm not a person who has any of these problems. And I finally went to my doctor, who is a very kind person, who looked at me and said, yeah, you're dealing with depression right now. And so let's get you some help. And I left and I was furious. I thought, what a terrible doctor this person is. There is no way I'm dealing with depression. I'm Bonnie Curry. I have an active prayer life. I'm deeply into my Bible. I am at a Christian radio station. I fill myself with praise and worship for 4 hours every day of my life.
Yeah.
This can't be possibly right. So I ignored it. I'm too strong. And the idea that this could be happening was a terrible thing in my life, because it meant I was weak. And I finally, through prayer and humbling myself, got some help.
I think understanding what you mentioned initially, which is feeling weak because you're admitting something. I think it takes an immense amount of strength to admit that you need help. Like, that to me is strength. And also, the greatest, if I compare it to athletes, Serena Williams has a coach. Michael Jordan had a coach.
Right.
And Simone Biles has a coach. Like, the best in the world still have people at play in their lives that help them correct their swing or correct their form or correct their shot like that. So that doesn't say that you're weak at all, period. Like, if you're in a strong place and need help. But I believe admitting that you need help is the most beautiful thing in the world. And when you start taking those steps and you realize that me sharing this will create freedom, not only for me, but those who are with me, when you decided to tell your story, it helps you take steps. And then the fear starts to dissipate, because as my dad says, When you start walking in the truth and walking in that direction, your feelings will soon follow your feet. And you will realize that this is actually one of the best things I could ever do, is be honest about what's going on in my life for the sake of me and those around me. So that to me is step one.
Were you nervous about being open about your own issues, your own challenges? I mean, again, let's be real about this. You happen to be, you've called yourself a PK a couple of times, but your father is Tony Evans, and he's one of the greatest pastors, speakers, authors of all time. But you're coming from a family where you should be okay. Like, really, I mean that.
I was initially worried, but Stacy created and creates an environment for all of her clients that's very safe. And the fact that when I went to her, because she's in LA and based in Hollywood and all that stuff, she didn't know who my family was at all.
Right.
So that was like, yay. Like, I was so excited.
I also don't Google people that come to see me.
Yeah.
If I would have Googled him, I might have figured a few things out.
Okay.
I had no idea. And
just the environment that was created was great, but also the desperation in that moment made it diminished me being scared anymore.
Right.
Like, there comes a point where the pain becomes so great, we're going to the doctor's not scary because you just want the pain to go away.
I always say that pain can be a great motivator, especially when you can't solve it yourself. And I'm really glad that you shared the part about feeling weakness, because I think that that's a case for most of us. But to me, like Anthony said, it takes a lot of strength to know when you actually need support. And the irony is that it doesn't say anywhere that we're supposed to be perfect or that we don't ever need to lean on someone. And so this is not about handing your life over and getting away from God. This is about getting some extra support to lift you up to the next level. And that's part of what we're trying to talk about and teach people in this book.
Coming up, we dig deeper into the details and discuss some tips that may be beneficial to you and your mental health. We're talking with Anthony Evans and Stacy Kaiser, and we'll be back here on Abide Radio.
You're listening to Abide Radio. This is Abide Radio, presented by the Abide Christian Meditation App. Once again, your host, Bonnie Curry.
So the book is When Faith Meets Therapy. We are talking with Anthony Evans and Stacy Kaiser. Stacy, you obviously have a lot of experience helping people work through not just mental health issues, but also relationship issues, because so oftentimes we can have relationships in our lives that are rewarding, that are fulfilling. We can also have relationships in our lives that are sucking the very soul out of us, and we don't know what to do. And why is this person in my life? I just can't do this anymore. Those kinds of relationships. So when people are having challenges in their own life due to relationships, do you have some steps, some ideas, things that they can do to help themselves?
Absolutely. Well, I always...
She has lots of them.
I always joke that sometimes we don't go to therapy for ourselves. We go to therapy because we're around people who should go to therapy and have not gone to therapy.
Amen.
So first I should say that in our book, we have three chapters dedicated to relationships because it is such an important part. And two of those are about toxic relationships. But just to throw a couple of tips at you for today, one of those tips is about, you know, some of the people in our lives are in our lives and we can't get them out. Maybe they were related to them. Maybe they live in our homes. And so it is about, first and foremost, trying to ask yourself, why is this person this way? How did they get this way? Is it their upbringing? Are they under a lot of stress? Are they just a naturally crabby person? To try and give them a little bit of grace. A second tip is to try to minimize the time spent with them. And if you can't minimize the time, you want to try to have buffers in the room. So it isn't just you and that person, but it's you and that person and maybe a couple of other people. Mm. And then a third tip that I would give is the detachment tip, which I'm going to let you talk about because you say that's, you like that one.
Yeah. It's basically Stacy has taught me a whole lot. First of all, let me say, because I have ADD and my brain keeps thinking about this, is that this is not normal, but I wanted it to be normal. Stacy is so wrapped in the confidentiality thing of being a psychotherapist. I asked her to come out of that space for the sake of this book. So I just want you to know that
therapy is confidential.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm really glad that you're here because you're, I want to be fair, you're not sharing anything specific to any patient with the exception of Anthony, who just happens to be willing to do that. But you're approaching this in a way that is a broad spectrum. Do you know what I'm saying? I respect that and I understand that. We're not going to sit here and say, all right, so tell me some dirt about Tyra Banks.
Yeah. But anyway, back to relationships. Sorry, I always do that. The detachment kind of concept. I get so hyper involved in scenarios. Stacey has had to teach me and help me work on the art of being a spectator in those scenarios, not getting so close to where you are impacted by all the things that are happening. And that literally was on the work I did on the inside. Like there were scenarios where I'd be around people who wind me up and normally I would join them in that feeling. And now I will literally like take deep breaths and tell myself spectate. Like I will say that from the inside. And as small as that is, it keeps me at a distance. I will walk out of the room and just take a second and go, don't do it. Do not do it. Don't allow yourself. This is their issue. This is their problem. It's not for you to take on. Like I will self-talk. And when she talks about that in the book too, I will talk to myself and make myself detach and spectate. And it's hard at times.
When it takes practice.
Yeah. It's hard at times when you're compassionate and a lot of church hearts are like compassionate. Oh my God, I'm supposed to help you carry this. I don't think you should ever do that to the detriment of yourself. And also something I've learned from Stacey is not becoming a victim to your own compassion, like victimizing yourself because you're a compassionate person.
I'm trying to picture moments where, like you said, you want to get sucked in to that moment and you don't want to be here. You don't want to be there. This is not something you want to do. I'm trying to picture myself mentally just grabbing a bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
Eating that popcorn and just watching it. You're a spectator. You're not, this is not, what is it? Yes. These are not my monkeys. This is not my circus, but you're just watching it. Yes. And I think for so many of us, that is helpful. Stacey, can I say that a lot of women, I think, struggle with this because again, I think by nature, so much of what we do and who we are is helpers and we're empathetic and we want to solve. Oh my goodness. We want to solve so many things. I have had to have people in my family say, don't need you to solve this. Just need you to listen. That's incredibly difficult. So Stacey, are there other ways to take that love that you have in your heart, that compassion that you have in your heart and make it healthier for those toxic relationships?
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. We women have been, I don't know, born that way, raised that way. But I also think a lot of believers are like that because it is all about, you know, being of service and being compassionate and forgiving and all of that stuff. And what I always say to people is you can still feel for the person, want the best for the person, pray for the person. But at the end of the day, we are unable to actually change someone. I mean, even I am not able to change someone if they do not want to change. And so it's really important to sort of ask yourself the question, does this person want my guidance? Do they want my support? Are they making efforts to change in their life? And if the answer is no to all of those, then our energy is best served somewhere else. We can go support another person. We can go do something good for ourselves. The other thing that I worry about with compassionate people is a lot of times we're so busy worrying about everyone else and taking care of everyone else. And this is very true for mothers, by the way, that we often suffer ourselves and we don't even realize that we're suffering.
Yeah.
And so I tell people that you need to do an assessment of yourself every day, either in the morning is a good time or right before bed, where you check in with yourself and say, how am I doing? What do I need? And sometimes it's just peace and quiet. Other times it's times with friends. It might be talking to a therapist or learning a new skill, but making sure that you're adjusting the focus onto yourself also, not in a selfish way, but in a self-care way.
Our conversation continues in a moment. Don't go away.
This is Abide Radio.
We hope that today's topic is giving you a sense of peace and truly showing you that God can use trained people to help you with your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. I'm talking today with Stacey Kiser and Anthony Evans about their new book, When Faith Meets Therapy. And sometimes it's so important. that we humble ourselves enough to receive knowledgeable guidance from people God has placed in our lives. Here's a meditation on the Abide app that talks about just that. Reflect on Listen to Wise Instruction, adapted by Stephanie Reeves and narrated by my friend, Lonane Laura.
How do you respond to constructive criticism? Listening to criticism is never easy, even when it comes from a loving and wise person. However, life-giving reproof is meant to help us, not hurt us. Pause for a moment and take a deep breath before hearing from Proverbs 15, verse 31 and 32. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. If we ignore helpful criticism, we are simply putting our own comfort before the health of our souls. Listening to faithful, friendly instruction helps us to mature spiritually. Who do you turn to when you need words of wisdom? The story of Solomon's son Rehoboam bears this out. He despised the counsel of the wise men who had served his father and listened instead to the really bad advice of his younger friends. When the people heard his harsh words, they came to the conclusion that they would have to look after themselves because their king was now their enemy. Ignoring wise counsel hurts you in the end. Solomon asked God for wisdom. He wrote the Proverbs for his son. But Rehoboam's decision to despise wise counsel led to the people rebelling and causing him to flee Jerusalem, and the kingdom was divided. God, you are the great teacher. You always give us wisdom when we ask. So teach me now. Help me to discern loving, helpful critique from mean, harmful criticism. Give me ears that listen attentively to wise instruction, even when it is hard to hear. Give me the strength to make changes in my life and help me to grow spiritually. I pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
You know, it may be helpful for us to whisper a small confession to God right now that we love listening to advice, but only when it affirms what we've already decided to do on our own. I am guilty of that myself so many times. God can and will help us to be open to words of guidance from wise and godly people that might lead us in ways we don't expect. He will give us courage to filter out what is not from Him, and then the humility to surrender to guidance that is. You can hear the rest of this meditation and thousands more like it on the Abide Christian Meditation app. Remember to follow us on YouTube and all the other social media platforms with the tag Abide is Prayer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Abide Radio. This is Abide Radio, presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app. Once again, your host, Bonnie Curry.
We've had a lot to unpack today. My guests, Anthony Evans and Stacy Kaiser, authors of the book When Faith Meets Therapy, have given us a lot to think about, especially if you've been struggling with toxic relationships, anxiety, depression, or just a life that feels overwhelming. Because it really can feel so overwhelming. And it's one of the reasons I personally find such comfort in being part of the Abide family. I know it's my voice on some of the ones that you hear, but what you might not realize is that I need those quiet times with Jesus in my life. The meditations, the sleep stories, they help me. And it brings me so much peace knowing that they help so many people as well. Because just like we've been talking about with Anthony and Stacy, part of real strength is simply understanding that you might need help. And if that's some quiet time in meditation, oh, my friends, make time for it. Stacy, as a psychotherapist, Do you find meditations like what we have on Abide to be helpful?
It's incredibly helpful. One of the reasons that it is helpful is because anyone who has a busy life is focused outside, right? We're busy looking and seeing and doing. And those are the quiet moments where you're focused inside on you.
Anthony, do you find in your day, because we were joking at the very beginning that, you know, I don't think you sleep because your schedule is bonkers. Like, it really is. Like, I'm just looking at everything, right?
As a therapist, you only see people in your therapy room, but being around his life, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, Anthony, in terms of what I call the swirl, I feel like that's your life is the swirl. There's so many things that are happening in your life. How do you find time to find that peace inside of yourself? What do you do?
I have to intentionally stop. Like, I have to intentionally, like a race car going around the Indy 500. There's an intentional moment where you pull over, no matter how fast everybody else is going, you pull over for a pit stop, because without that, there will be a breakdown. Like, without that danger, like, I have to set my mind that way.
Right.
This pit stop has to happen. And there are moments where even Stacey, as I'm sitting over here nodding while she's talking, because we've had those moments where she's like, I really suggest to you to take a beat, like stop, allow yourself to feel, because there's a part of my work ethic that is like my dad. I get this from my dad, not to tell his business, but if there's something going on inside, sometimes I use work as a coping mechanism. Like, I love to work hard, but I will avoid emotions by working hard. And so there are moments where Stacey's even said, as it relates to specifically like the loss of my mother, our mother, she said, go to your roof, sit on the roof. Well, in LA, you can, you know, everybody sits on the rooftops. You're right. Like, why would you sit on the roof?
Right.
Get a picture of your mom while the sunset is happening, which she loves sunsets, and allow yourself to feel. Because if you don't, those feelings are going to get stuffed down and they're going to start coming out in all different ways. Like, your work life is going to be affected because you're going to be angry. Like, you're going to start being angry. Like, you're not dealing with yourself. So I just have to make intentional moments, intentional pit stops, even though everybody else is still racing around me, to change the emotional oil, change the tires, change the spiritual tires, change so that I do not end up crashing and burning.
I know you've lost your mom. My mom lost her early. The loss of my dad was such a shock. It was very unexpected. I had just seen him 3 days before. In the middle of the night, I get a call and he's gone. And I had an amazing relationship with him. Just deeply loved him. And I can say this, and I hope you understand, but I liked him. I loved him, but I liked him so much. He was just so much fun. And one of the first things I did after the funeral and most of the things had been done is I got right back to work. And I could tell everybody was very nervous, like they didn't know, okay, so how are we dealing with her? And I just said, I'm fine. I don't really want to talk about it. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I buried it. I buried it down. I just found myself going, I don't have time for this. The grieving was so intense that I didn't want to go through it. It was awful. And so I just kept pushing it down, pushing it down. And you're right. It started coming out in various ways. It really did. I would be, oh my goodness, I was watching Field of Dreams and I just caught it on cable. And it was the last little scene where he looks at his dad and he goes, Dad, do you want to have a catch? Oh my goodness. It was ugly crying. It was not the Demi Moore in Ghost crying with the beautiful soft tears. You know what I'm saying? When I cry, I sound like I'm laughing, by the way. It's a horror show. I sound like I'm laughing. It's like, like that. And it was violent and it was awful. And I thought, wow, I'm not okay. And Stacey, like you said, you have to go up someplace and allow yourself this. And I started giving myself moments. One of the things that I loved about the book, and by the way, the book is When Faith Meets Therapy, was how you addressed gratitude and how amazingly helpful gratitude can be.
Yes. To me, what confuses people is a lot of people will say, well, if it's a really difficult time, I should just focus on gratitude.
Right.
And part of what we talk about in the book, which is actually within two chapters, this sort of one concept I'm talking about, is you do have to feel it to heal it. So you do need to have moments where you let yourself feel the pain.
Right.
But then you want to pause and switch to gratitude and start to think to yourself, what are some of the things that I'm truly grateful for? And it can be small things like just having a wonderful conversation like this, which is a short period of time, right? Or it can be something larger like having a roof over your head or a rooftop to be able to go to.
So, Anthony, in your life, how are you practicing gratitude that also focuses on your own healing?
Oh my goodness. I really take a beat every day. I can honestly say this every day. Whenever something comes out of my mouth that's kind of complaining, I don't negate it, or something that's heavy or hard, right. I don't negate it. But immediately I will follow it up by saying, but I'm grateful for, and I will follow it up. I don't say, don't worry about that because you have this. It's what Stacey just said. Today's hard, or work's overwhelming, or my heart hurts because of this relationship, but I'm grateful for whatever. And I will find something, health, the sunshine, the fact that I get to sing for a living still, like whatever it is, that's how I change it. And I always liken it to growing up. My dad would take me to get my shots because I was a freakazoid kid who freak out at the thought of having right. to get a shot. So my dad needed to take me. So he would take me, and my doctor, Dr. Denny, I'd be freaking out, losing my mind of thinking about this shot. And Dr. Denny would open up this drawer that he had full of candy. And it did not negate the fact that the shot was going to happen, but my perspective changed to that. I mean, I would go from tears to like my tears would stop, and I would grab whatever ring pop or whatever he had, and the shot still happened, and I would still wince, but my perspective changed. And gratitude changes your perspective, even though the circumstance may not change, your perspective changes. And that's how I view it. I know that the shots still happening are going to happen, but it's just a perspective changer.
And I just really want to quickly add, because I think you're really good at this. If you can't find anything to be grateful for in the moment because you're just in such a bad place, then you can give appreciation to others. And Anthony is the person who will walk around and say, thank you for this. I appreciate you for that. You do this wonderfully. Even giving the gift of a compliment or gratitude to someone else can be healing for yourself.
Again, I just want to hug you both. I feel like there's so much healing inside of this book. I have the privilege of getting to meet and to talk to a lot of people in what I do for a living. And I will say, there's a lot more hurting people out there than I think we all want to deal with. That the idea that so many people from all walks of life are truly dealing with things that would absolutely boggle our minds. I recently talked to a mom that I know professionally that I had no idea that her husband is in stage 4 cancer. She is living on a level that I cannot fathom. And yet this, her face, her demeanor, her everything about her says, I'm okay. I'm fine. You would never know she's dealing with this. So for that person who's listening right now, who might be dealing with things that are above their pay grade, and I mean in their ability to deal with it, what would you say to that person listening right now?
I would say that you do not need to walk through any of this alone, and you shouldn't. And so whether you find counselors or a supportive group of people, it's very important that you find support. Because one of the things that we know is people who aren't in good shape physically, emotionally, and spiritually end up struggling in other areas of their life, relationships. It actually lowers your immune system and causes more stress when you're not doing well emotionally. It impacts productivity at work. And so it is about opening up and sharing and connecting and getting the support back that you need.
Thank you for that. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Anthony, because we are longtime friends and I can do this. Anthony, before you leave, I would ask, would you pray for our listener right now, if you would, please?
Absolutely. Lord, we are grateful for you. We are grateful for the opportunity to just be honest and authentic and transparent, knowing that you can take the broken pieces and make them into something beautiful. I pray for the listener right now who is in that place of feeling alone or feeling lost or feeling abandoned. I pray that you would remind them, even through this conversation, that they are not alone, and that you would bring opportunity into their life to take the steps toward healing. Bring bravery, rid them of their fear, rid them of their anxiety, and allow them to take that first step toward healing. Again, we are grateful for the fact that through our authenticity and our transparency, that is where you become, you're glorified in a way that we could never imagine. When we are just honest about who we are and honest about what you do with who we are, we're grateful for you. And for the hearts that are listening right now, I pray, Lord, that a peace will come into their life, just knowing that, again, they are not by themselves in this journey of believing in you, trusting in you, but also having a hard time, because that's just what life does. But again, we are grateful for how you take these circumstances and make them beautiful. We love you. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thank you both so much. So for you listening right now thinking, I would love to hear more from Anthony Evans, you should and you do. So find Anthony Evans, download his music wherever you find him. And then for anybody going, I would like to dig a little deeper, you do. It's When Faith Meets Therapy. Anthony Evans, Stacy Kaiser, wherever you grab your good books, that's where you want to go looking for that. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie.
My goodness. Thank you again to Stacy and Anthony for this chat today. And I pray that it has helped you as you think about the large or even small steps you can take for the mental health of you or someone you love. Abide listener Teresa counts on the app's daily meditations to help her discern the wise voice of God from the white noise of the world. Listen as she shares why that is so important to her.
Hey, my name is Teresa. I am from San Diego, California, and Abide has literally been a godsend. And I just noticed that it has helped me so much in so many different ways, you know, from the sleep stories and the soaking music, you know, whether I'm doing my quiet time and journaling or, you know, I'm trying to fall asleep, I'll just put one of those on. And, you know, even the daily meditations, you know, whether it's I only have, you know, a quick 2 to 5 minutes, or I'm able to sit down longer and be able to truly just meditate more on it. And I've noticed that it's not only helped with my sleep, but most importantly, it's helped me with my walk. I've grown so much more into intimacy with the Lord and been able to actually learn discernment, you know, when it's God's voice versus, you know, my flesh, and just really learning to shut the flesh up, because especially in today's world, you know, there's just so much white noise and background noise. And we really, truly just need to listen to the shepherd, because he's the one who created us and we are made in his image. And we were created to listen to his voice and his voice only. Yeah, I definitely would recommend Abide to literally anyone, everyone. So God bless y'all. Love you.
Oh, my sweet friend, I pray that today you may listen to the wise guidance that comes from our Heavenly Father, and that you meditate on the words of Jesus, and that your heart can sense the direction it receives from the Holy Spirit. As always, I want you to know that you matter in this world, and that God deeply loves you. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Abide Radio, a podcast presented by the Abide Christian Meditation app. You can find us on the App Store or Google Play and join thousands of app users from all across the globe. You can also follow us on your favorite social media site at Abide Is Prayer. To access the show notes and discover our fantastic bonus content, go to abide.co.